The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request. Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning and welcome back, everybody, to another segment of Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we actually have been so inundated with requests to be on the show, we've moved to three guests per show. And coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we're going to bring on a top certified financial planner. Eleanor Blaney will bring on a covered call expert, Alan Ellman, and we'll also bring on something we've been talking a lot about, corporate governance. We're going to bring on John Much from Beyond Trust. And let me just share, as I always try to do in the beginning of the show, is to kind of go over what I see taking place in the marketplace itself. And yesterday I was on Fox. The day before I was on CNBC. They want to know what's going on this very, very second. But I remind you and I remind them, if you take a little bit of a bigger picture, if you take a little bit of a approach of being a detective, looking at the market, you're actually not going to turn around and change your opinion on a day-to-day basis on how things are going. Now, we've talked a lot over the last couple of months of the new bull market that was created that actually started March 9th of last year. And while a lot of other people have had a discussion of whether this is a bear market rally, if it's a double dip on a recession coming up, clearly, I believe those people are fighting the previous war. This is what always happens in the stock market, whether it's a bull market transitioning to a bear, whether it's bear transitioning to a bull. People just kind of cannot shake a sentiment and recognize when change has happened. Now, we've had on from Investors Intelligence, Michael Burke, probably one of my greatest mentors, smartest guys I know, who talks about just being a detective. Put your ego away, don't paint yourself into a corner, and ask yourself a few questions. So when we look at the stock market today, what we see in yesterday's marketplace, again, approximately 250 new highs coming in order, and this is coming out of Investors Daily. We've had William O'Neill on the show before. Medical industry, the most new highs. Guess what, folks? Finance, the second most new highs. Business services, machinery, energy, retail, real estate, okay? Consumer, computers, and telecom. That's where the new highs are coming from. And, folks, these are a combination of growth sectors and heavy cyclical, which are stocks and sectors that do well when the market turns around. In terms of the new lows yesterday, there was a total on all three American exchanges, New York, NASDAQ, and Amex, a total of two stocks trading above $10 a share, making a new low. One was a bank, one was an SNL. I've been telling you for quarter after quarter, beware these small banks. They're still in some trouble. There's still lots of things on the balance sheets negatively affecting them. But the point here again, there's an absolute vacuum of new lows. There's new leadership. That's what the stock market looks like. Well, again, there was a discussion that we've been having about whether the Fed is creating another bubble, whether rates are too low, and what people are trying to do is to hold the Fed hostage, saying, well, if you raise rates, it's going to kill the stock market, it's going to kill the economy again. Hyperbola, it makes no sense. Rates do not need to be at 0% target for Fed funds so that banks can borrow money for free and then sit around and buy treasuries and earn a 3% spread on their money. This is not what we need. What we really need is the problem that created the last, and I don't like the word bubble, that created the last problems was the simple fact that most of the pension money, the corporate money, the big endowment money, it sits in fixed income. It sits in the bond market, and you cannot achieve your goals. You actually have a negative rate of return after inflation. And so what happens is people are forced to do other things. They're forced to look at alternative investments. Retirees don't even have that liberty. They sit around earning less than 1% on their money. And again, it's a surefire problem. So the Fed can go ahead and raise rates a couple of percent. I said that a couple of percent. And it still will not, I believe, have a huge impact on the economy. That's my opinion. You know, what can I really say? What I see happening still is a international globalization of consumerism. People going on the internet, people seeing how the rest of the world live, a greater population living better. It's very few areas that haven't been actually brought up their standard of living, and it's just a tragedy. Again, you know, when we look at how the negative media will pound how bad we have it, folks, let's take a minute to think about the tragedy that happened in Haiti. I believe if their numbers are anywhere close to being right, 50 times the amount of people who actually were lost at 9/11 were lost in that earthquake. There are places that really do have it bad. There are places with really a horrible economy, terrible infrastructure, and the good news, folks, in this country, it's completely different. We have a world of opportunity. We have a world where bear markets create opportunities. We are seeing pools of money now being brought together to buy distressed real estate, to buy distressed bonds. In my opinion, this thing is going to look very similar to the bank runs of the 30s, where the largest banks actually created those runs. It's a little controversial, but they create the runs. They come in and then offer to help out and buy those banks at 10 cents or 5 cents on the dollar, like they're literally doing somebody a favor. And I believe, again, that things are a heck of a lot better than people recognize. I happen to be in the middle of writing an article right now for Equities Magazine about biotechnology. And what I remind people is when we use the word biotechnology, we're still using it in the narrowest sense of the word. We're using it in terms of medical technology based around biotechnology. What you'll see, folks, you will see biotechnology probably create new industries, whether it's biofuel, whether it's bioengineering. I believe you will see a cross between engineers and the medical field producing and creating some incredible new industries and new, very strong jobs. Remember, it was only 1983 where we were told the unemployment rate's over 10%, the stock market hasn't done anything in 10 years, The country is in shambles. There's no way out of it. Our country's in a super decline. Well, that was right before we heard of companies like Intel, Microsoft, right before computers came out, got networked. Folks, there is about 30% of people working in jobs, in companies, where the industry didn't exist 30 years ago. That's the magic of the way the economy works. That's the magic how I believe it will continue to work. And I happen to be, as always, not that interested in really distressed industries, distressed companies, and looking for a turnaround. The whole magnet philosophy is not over-diversifying, is actually finding the key companies in the key industries that are actually accelerating cash flow, and that's what my new book is about, The Magnet Method of Investing, continuing to get some great reviews, and sales are great. If you haven't got a copy, take a peek over at Amazon. That's where the best prices are, I believe, but they're in the bookstores. But that's the way I handle things. When we come back from a segment, we're going to hear a whole different approach from a financial planner. One of the most successful financial planners is looking at the resume and, fairly dramatic, and I'm sure a very different approach to investing. We'll look at covered call writing, something that one of my partners does exceptional business on, a very conservative way to generate income. And so there's all ways to skin the cat in the investment business. The only way you cannot succeed, the only way you're destined to fail, if you are so fearful and so disbelieving in the economy, in the market, in the free market, in the free will of people to do the right thing, that you're forced to sit in the money market and kind of be held hostage by the media waiting somehow for the news to get better. And folks, by the time the news gets better, by the time the skies are blue and people are prepared to go forward because the news is good, that's usually where the market starts running out of steam. And every bull market is followed by a bear market. Every bear market is followed by a bull market. At least that's how it's been for the last couple hundred years. So, folks, what we're going to do, we're going to come back from a break. We're going to look at a couple different angles on the market, a new look on corporate governance. And what I will tell you is over at the New York Stock Exchange yesterday, the initiative we've been hinting about for months and months and months is so ever so close to being born. We can't wait to bring you the news, and we're talking to Voice America Business about another dynamic show helping to restore trust in business and organizations. We can't wait. Folks, coming back from this break, we will go forward. We are going to bring on Eleanor Blaney, consumer advocate for the Certified Financial Planning Board, and we look forward to her comments. We'll be right back following this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it is a pleasure right now to bring on Eleanor Blaney, the consumer advocate for the Certified Financial Planning Board, herself a CFP, in the business for 20 years. And Eleanor, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let me start by saying, Eleanor, the M in Magnet stands for management. It's all about the people behind the scenes, I believe. And if you wouldn't mind, I know you have a terrific background, extensive background in the financial business. Why don't you spend just a couple minutes bringing us up to date on how you got here, and then we'll jump into what you're doing right now over with the Financial Planning Board.
Great. Well, I have been in the profession, as you say, for over 20 years. I originally came to Washington, D.C. to be a financial advisor to the government and decided I'd rather be working with people instead. So I moved into the profession when it was still relatively young, and have worked with clients over that period of time, but have also worked with the profession to shape practice standards. I have taught for College for Financial Planning. So I've been very, very involved in the financial planning process and the benefit of financial planning for the consumer, and particularly the benefit of reaching out to a CFP professional. Right now I am taking this message primarily to women who I feel, for a variety of reasons, have been kind of on the edges of the conversation around personal finance. So my mission now is to bring them into the conversation, to be educating them to the financial realities that are unique to women. And that's where I am now. And I'm also serving, as I say, as consumer advocate for the CFP board. We're the organization that credentials the 60,000 CFP professionals through examination, ethics, and experience. So we are building the gold standard of the financial planning profession.
Fantastic. And that you have your hand in a lot of areas. And reading through your background, you know, what interested me is a lot of people all take the financial approach of getting the highest return. I think what you're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of blending making people not only good investment plans, but getting them to become, competent financial consumers themselves. And if I could, maybe, you want to talk about, the year starts. We all try to have at least a one-year plan, if not a five-year plan, and how maybe you help people develop a plan and then stay on it.
Well, yes, that's right, and we're beginning a new year, so I think everybody's full of plans right now, and the challenge is to go from the, oh, I know I should be doing this, to I can do this, from knowing what you should be doing to doing it. So we try to, get consumers to move from knowledge to action, if you will, and particularly now we're 2 or 3 weeks into the new year, and I think a lot of people's resolutions may have been already discarded. So one message I have for consumers is to kind of crank up those resolutions by focusing on small, achievable goals that you can meet. You know, you go for an easy win, and then the next more difficult thing becomes a lot easier. So I am promoting some quick things that people can do, a phone call, going online to fill out a form, and getting these things done and then moving on. For example, just by picking up the phone, you can, or going into your, HR department, go ahead and increase your 401k contribution to the max. You do it once, so you don't need resolution throughout the year. It's done, and then you move on.
Right. I think that's a great point. I think what you really want to do there is, I think what you're saying is you want to kind of blend maybe an expected return and some responsible spending and maybe some debt reduction. Is that the way you approach it?
Well, absolutely. And I know that, your focus is on investing, and investing is so important for wealth building, but we also need to invest for wealth preservation. So it's not just return, it's risk management as well. But my message to consumers is that wealth creation is very multifaceted. Yes, investing is a part of it, but controlling your spending can be as effective to financial security as the right investment. So consumers need to be approaching this not just from, their balance sheet, their assets and liabilities, but also from, income, their own human capital, the return that they're getting on their human capital. These are all important components of financial security.
Right, and I think that's really important. And I think that, one of the things is that there is the traditional old school stock broker, and then there's actually financial planners, and it is a different code of ethics and maybe practice standards that are involved, and maybe you want to talk about something we talked about right before the segment, that maybe there's just not enough financial planners to help all the folks out there with all the money.
Well, that may be true, but I think that fortunately this is a growing profession, and we're seeing more and more people come in at the level of colleges and universities and technical schools, which is something that has changed over the last 20 years that I've been in the business. Young people are now excited about getting into the profession. But you're right. A CFP really practices by what we call, it's a very important word, a fiduciary standard, which means that he or she, in giving financial planning advice, must put the client's interest ahead of his or her own. So this is not a salesperson who, basically profits on a commission by pushing a certain product. I mean, we are in the advice business, and our clients' interests must come first. And this is a standard of our profession. So the consumer knows that when they're talking to a CFP, they have that degree of assurance of, what basis the advice is being given. So it is a very important distinction. And also consumers need to know that investment advisors are not, a CFP is not just an investment person. many people go in and in interviewing a CFP professional, their first question might be, well, what is your performance? Mm-hmm. Well, that actually is almost an irrelevant question for a CFP, because he or she will not have a performance like a stock would have a performance or a fund would have a performance. It's going to be very individualized depending on the individual.
Right, and I think that's a really great point. I also mentioned that despite the fact that we should be able to trust folks in the financial business, we know there's been a breakdown in trust in organizations, in the financial business. Maybe you could do two things for us right now. Maybe you could, number one, share where people can get the right information to determine if, in fact, this planner is good for them or not. And then maybe at the same time, there's a couple minutes left in the segment, you want to share your own contact information with your role as the consumer advocate for the CFP board. Mm-hmm. I mean, who better than you to show people and point them where to go? So why don't you take a couple minutes to do that?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me share some of the, in terms of a search for a competent ethical planner. You can go to the CFP Board's website, www.cfp.net, and there's a lot of educational material there about the kinds of questions that you might, that you know, you might use when you're interviewing a planner. And I will say, as an aside, it's very important to interview a few people. A lot of people spend more time planning their vacations than they do in choosing a planner. So take some time. See if the chemistry is right. But even beyond that, you do need to do some background checking. And we have done surveys here at the board and found that very few people go into, you know, actually check somebody's background. Think of all the Bernie Madoff clients and how many of these people check his background. Apparently not many, if any at all. So this is really important. And you going on that website, again, www.cfp.net, there is a planner search function, and you can search by geographical location, and you can see if the planner that you find in your area, you can see if there has been any board disciplinary history. So obviously you want to make sure that there is none. In addition, there is another website, www.fpanet.org. This is the website for the Financial Planning Association. And again, they have a planner search function. They only include CFPs in their database, and you can search on a number of parameters besides location. You can look for specialties and minimums, if such exist, etc. So that's very important. Now, you can get in touch with me, again, by going to the CFP website, and you'll see my picture there as consumer advocate. I have a series of videos on the website for consumers about the new financial realities, and you can reach me through the board. And I welcome your input, questions, and comments.
Well, fantastic. You know, Eleanor, I really want to thank you for joining this segment. There's a host of other things I want to talk to you about. I'll do that. I'll circle back to you for sure. But thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
All righty. And, folks, you are listening to Voice America Business, Magnet Investing. Following a quick break, we're going to bring on an expert in covered call writing, a way to generate some income in the market, a little more conservative approach. We'll bring on Alan Ellman next, and we'll be right back following this quick commercial break.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it's a pleasure to bring on now Alan Ellman, and Alan's the president of the Blue Collar Investment Group, specializing in covered call writing. And Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Jordan. I appreciate it.
All right. And Alan, what we always like to do is let people first establish who they are, where they're from, and all. Maybe a little bit about your background, how you got to be an expert in this field, and then we'll get into the specifics of what you do.
Sure will. The Blue Collar Investor Corporation actually started back in 2006. I had been educating myself and investing in the stock market for about 20 years when I was invited to speak before a large group of real estate investors regarding some investment properties that I owned in Austin, Texas. During the course of my presentation, I mentioned the fact that I purchased my first investment property with the profits that I earned from selling stock options. Well, after the seminar, I was inundated with requests to explain how I did this options selling, and there were really no questions about the real estate. And after several phone calls and emails, I decided, you know what, I'm going to write a series of seminars explaining exactly how I do this, and I presented dozens of these seminars over the past few years. Since that time, I've trained for and achieved the Series 65 certification for investment advisors. I've authored two books on the subject of covered calls, Cashing In on Covered Calls, and Exit Strategies for Covered Call Writing, and both of them are bestsellers on Amazon.com on the subject of covered call writing. I've also produced DVD and CD series and have written about 200 journal articles on the subject of covered call writing, which I publish on my website, thebluecollarinvestor.com. In addition to that, Jordan, I've been a film speaker at the Long Island Investment Association. I've been a speaker for the Learning Annex, and I've even hosted some stock option seminars for Norwegian Cruise Lines, in addition to the radio interviews I've been doing lately. So that pretty much brings you up to date on my background for the Blue Collar Investor Corp.
Beautiful. Again, what we always do here, we have on the leading experts in the field, and those are some great background credentials for you. And let's get into the meat here a little bit. clearly, you know, covered call writing is something that's getting a lot more attention these days. Maybe you want to talk about what actually attracted you to that strategy with all the different ways to make money in the market.
Oh, sure will. I have a lot of items to talk about when it comes to the assets of covered call writing, but I guess right at the top of the list would have to be that it's really all about the money. I found that I get higher returns for a conservative low-risk strategy with covered call writing. It's also a wonderful strategy for most market conditions, whether it's moderately bullish, moderately bearish, or neutral, which would cover 90 to 95% of all market conditions. In addition to that, Jordan, when you sell covered calls, you own the underlying stock. You, the option seller, capture all the corporate dividends, not the option buyer. One of my favorites is that you can compound your money instantaneously. When you sell that option, that cash is generated into your account immediately and available for trading the next day. So you could take those profits and reinvest it instantaneously. Now, one of the other attributes is the downside protection that this strategy affords you. Let me give you a quick example. You buy a stock for $48. You sell a call option for $2. Now that investment is protected down to $46. So if that stock drops $1 to $47, you've lost $1 on the share value, but you still have the $2 option profit, so you've actually made money even though the stock has gone down a little bit. Now, the advantage of covered call writing that actually attracted to me it initially was the fact that you could use this strategy in your self-directed IRA accounts. And we all know how fussy the government is about the type of investments it allows you to use in your IRA. And this can be used in your IRA so that all the profits you generated can be either tax-deferred or tax-free if you have a Roth.
Let me jump in here for a second. I've seen your books. They're pretty impressive. I think you've done a good job with them. What I'm curious about is when you identify a covered write opportunity, how do you go about finding the opportunity and saying one's a better opportunity than the next?
Well, basically, there's a few attributes that an equity has to have to be a great candidate for a covered call right. What I say to myself is, what type of stock would an institutional investor support? Because we don't want our stocks to go down. We don't care if they stay the same. If they stay the same or go up, we're going to do quite well with covered call writing. So what we do is we screen the stocks that are the greatest performing stocks, both fundamentally and technically. So I run screens. I actually use the IBD 100 list as my starting point, and then I run it through a few other screens. And then I use technical analysis to determine my buy-sell decisions. But there are other more esoteric features that we need to factor in. For example, Jordan, I never sell a covered call option if there's an upcoming earnings report, because that represents a lot of volatility and risk that I'm not willing to take. So if, let's say, we find a great performing stock that has a great chart pattern but has an upcoming earnings report, it will not be in my portfolio that month. And then there are other common sense features that I factor in as well, like industry or sector diversification. And also an important one that a lot of people don't talk about much is selecting the best strike price or the price to sell the option for. And that's critical because you have choices of in the money or out of the money. And based on the technical pattern of that particular stock will determine which will lead you to the most successful investment result.
Right. So it's a little complicated to get into examples right here, but traditionally or usually does, in fact, above or below strike price make most sense to you?
Well, it depends. I'll tell you what I use as my determining factor, Jordan. If the market is an uptrending market, And if the technicals of that particular stock are all positive, I will sell an out-of-the-money strike. Can I give you a quick example of
sure.
what that would look like?
We could try one.
Okay. I'll make it quick. We buy 100 shares of company XYZ at $48. We sell the out-of-the-money $50 strike. So our cost base is $4,800, and we sell the $50 strike, and a typical amount of premium you get from this would be about $1.50 per share or $150 for the contract. Now, $150 profit on a $4,800 investment is better than a 3% one-month return. Now, at the end of the contract cycle, which is the third Friday of the month, you have two possible outcomes. If the price of that stock has not gone past the $50 strike price or agreed-upon sales price, the option holder will not exercise the option. We keep our stock, we keep the $150, and now we're free to sell another option or the stock. If the stock does surpass the $50 strike price, now our profit is $150 for the sale of the option, which we keep anyway, plus $200 more on the sale of the stock for a total profit of $350. Our cost basis, you remember, was $4,800, and that represents better than a 7% one-month return. You only start to lose money, Jordan, if the price of the stock goes down more than the profit generated from the initial sale of the option, which in this case is $1.50.
Right. Well, let me jump in. It might sound complicated, but I know it's not. In fact, I work very closely with an expert in covered call writing. I think it's a great subject. I think it's a conservative way if you know what you're doing. Maybe what you want to do, Alan, let's pause here. We got a couple minutes to go in the segment. Maybe there's some contact information if people wanted to buy your book, learn more. Where do they learn more about Alan Ellman?
Sure. Would you like me to go ahead now?
Do it. It's your turn.
Okay. My website is www.thebluecollarinvestor.com. And you could reach me directly by email at Alan, that's A-L-A-N, at thebluecollarinvestor.com.
Perfect. And one more thought here I have for you is, what's the most common mistake people get or do when they're dealing with covered calls?
Great question, Jordan. Great question. The answer to that is the mistake is greed. What they do is they take a look at an option return and automatically see a great return, let's say 10 to 15% in 1 month, run out, buy the stock, sell the option. What they don't realize is that great return is due to a very high implied volatility for that option, which means that the market is anticipating tremendous price movement in that equity, and that could be down as well as up. So don't be lured in to a tremendous option premium return, because that's going to represent tremendous risk in what really should be a very conservative strategy.
Perfect, perfect. I love the answer, too. Maybe there's a question, a thought that I didn't get to that's on your mind. If there is, hit me with a closing thought.
Well, I think that anybody that wants to invest in a conservative manner and take control of their financial future, consider covered call writing.
All right. Easy enough. And listen, thanks again for your time. We appreciate you spending it with us. And we'll circle back to you in the future. Ready?
Thanks for having me on, Jordan.
It's a pleasure. And folks, next we're going to turn to the subject we've been really going back to more and more frequently, that of corporate governance. And we'll bring on the CEO of Beyond Trust, John Much. Great background in corporate governance himself. Stick with us. We'll be right back following this quick message.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
It's sex education like you've never heard before. Want to improve your love life? You know, that love life. Join sexual wellness expert and certified erotic educator Jaya for Sex with Jaya. She'll bring you cutting-edge techniques to expand your erotic repertoire. Jaya will offer advice and speak with guests who will shed light on everything to do with sex. You can even listen together with that special someone. Sex with Jaya is broadcast live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magna Investing on Voice America Business. It's a pleasure now to bring on John Much, the current CEO of Beyond Trust. Great, extensive background in corporate governance. And John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me today, Jordan.
All righty. What I always like to do, John, is spend just 2 minutes or so with guests, allowing them a chance to talk about their own background, where they're from, how they became an expert in their field. And if you don't mind, how about a little bit of your own background?
Sure. I am a 30-year veteran of the technology industry, having worked at Microsoft Corporation mid-80s to mid-90s. I've run two publicly traded software companies, and my interest in corporate governance and shareholder activism was really driven by my appointment to the board of directors of Peregrine Systems by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. Peregrine Systems perpetrated one of the largest frauds ever in the U.S. technology industry, overstating revenue by $800 million and profit by $2 billion in the early 2000s. I later became CEO of that company, restructured the company, restating 5 years of financial results, bringing their filings current with the SEC, and ultimately sold the company to HP in December of 2005. Since that time, I've been involved in developing software specifically to provide access and control around IT infrastructure and financial systems. And I've worked with a number of large activist shareholders, Ramius Capital and Steel Partners, on public companies that have had governance issues. So very interested in it and super fascinating topic. A lot of good work to be done to protect the interests of shareholders.
Right, and that is a tremendous background. I certainly remember the Peregrine, issue, and it's amazing that a company can have that many problems, still stay in business, still be turned around. I give you a tremendous amount of credit for it. And John, let me just say that you know, what we see is what I consider a breakdown in trust in business to a level that we haven't seen for a while. And certainly the media has a part in always looking for problems, but I guess a lot of the issues come down to the relationship between management and boards. Or is that an issue that you see? What do you see as really, you know, a couple things to maybe put a finger in the dike and to help start turning things around?
Yeah, I think as you point out, that we have had a breakdown in the fiduciary duty of both management and directors to the shareholders of the company. I think there's a high degree of principal agency conflict that has been created with economic incentive between boards and management that have encouraged behavior that has not been in the best interest of shareholders. I think the heightened visibility by the media and government regulators around, you know, what is the fiduciary duty of a director and a CEO to the shareholders is helping drive a very positive trend in corporate governance. The boards that I sit on, AdaptTech and Agilisys, there is a real acknowledgement of transparency, visibility, and an approach to thinking about what is in the best interest of the aggregate shareholder base as we move forward and try to create value with those companies.
Okay, and I think that what I hear is that it's not so much the anger of what individuals make while they're running companies, but what the incentives are tied to what a group we're working with calls the push towards short-termism. And maybe you can address how compensation can be established where people are encouraged to make a whole lot of money, but have the interests of the company first.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, people do what they're incented to do. I chaired the compensation committee of a firm called Phoenix Technologies, which was subject to a hostile proxy action by Ramius Capital and a firm that I had formed, MV Advisors. And there's several things that have to happen. I mean, A, we have to have an incentive system in place for management that is structured along appropriate value creation horizon. The use of performance shares versus restricted stock that have a component of time-based vesting as well as performance attainment are something that I think align shareholders and corporate management. You know, the easiest thing for a CEO to do is to go to a board and say, give me a boatload of time-based vesting restricted stock. And over a period of years, there's a certain amount of economic benefit you're going to get regardless of whether the company does well or not. Sure, you'll get more if the company does well. But the idea with performance shares is that there has to be a performance hurdle that's overcome to get the stock, as well as a commitment to the long-term horizon of value creation to get the stock. So I think that compensation committees today and compensation consultants are now focused on mechanisms that drive both of those requirements to provide an incentive to management.
Right. I think that's a great comment. And I think that there's so much, I guess, attention. I guess where I'm going to is that in compensation policies and transparency, board construction, is there something that hasn't been pushed to the front that you think can push to the front that can allow companies the leeway to be profitable, but also to be accountable to employees, shareholders, I guess all the different stakeholders out there? Is there any measurement or something that you would push a company to do to enhance their trust outside to others?
Well, I think that the measurements that you use are specific to the characteristics of the business. As an example, at AdaptTech, we put in a measurement for management bonuses based on return on net assets, which was specific to their capital structure. I think the thing that's really important is visibility and transparency. And the new requirements around compensation, discussion, and analysis, and disclosing the level of pay within corporate environments is a very positive step in the right direction for all shareholders. I do want to know one interesting thing we've seen recently is people are now picking up the conflict between corporate management and the consulting firms that do compensation consulting and how highly concentrated their work is within companies.
Interesting point there. Listen, we're going to run out of time here. Do you want to share any contact information for Beyond Trust where people could reach you for services or anything along the line?
Sure. If anybody'd love to dialogue a little more or be interested in what we're doing at Beyond Trust with our compliance and access control software, it's jmutch, M-U-T-C-H, at beyondtrust.com.
Well, John, listen, I'm sorry we're out of time here, but I do appreciate you spending the time to join us today.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Appreciate it. Take
care. Alrighty. And folks, you're listening to Voice America Business. It's Magnet Investing signing off for yet another week. Three more guests lined up for next week, all looking again corporate governance, some authors out there. But we need to do right now, we need to get on to the next show here. We need to wish you from the frozen turf of North Central Jersey a great week ahead. We'll see you next week right here on Voice America Business. It's Magnet Investing and Jordan Kimmel signing off. We'll see you next week.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.